This year is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing. Today's daf is Mesechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, and we opened up the sugya now of Yayin Nesach, Stam Yenon, by pointing out that there are three daragot, and this was, it's important to remember, it was Rabbi Yochanan who was quoting Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater on this. There are three daragot of Iser on wine that has to do with wine from Goyim. One is Yayin that was nitnasech, literally, to an Avodah Zarah. Such a thing is also midiraita, it's considered to be takrovet akum, and not only that, the Torah compares it to a mate, so it's mitame like a mate, and it's Osir Bahana'ah.
But yes? Practically, it's already poured out to the idol, so then when it's...
No, they didn't pour it on the floor. They would pour it inside of a kli, you know, like a fountain.
Right.
And then they would drink it. Yeah.
And then drink it out?
Yeah. First they make it holy, and it becomes holy wine, and it becomes consecrated wine. Okay, so that is the worst. And that's Osir Bahana'ah, it's Batame Tumachamura. Then we have Stam Yenam. Now, Stam Yenam includes two general issues. One is just wine of a goy, where there's no reason for us to think that it was nitnaseich, other than the fact that goyim do these kind of things, or did these kind of things, which is an important consideration we'll have to discuss, whether nowadays there's really any chashash for these things. But the Rabbonim made a gezerah that even though we have no basis, normally we're not machzikin in Isura, so it's not as if there's a suffix yayin nesach just because it's yayin v'yarakon, but they made a gezerah to treat it as if it's a suffix yayin nesach in a sense, and therefore they assert it also bahana'ah. However, it is not metami, and it's only mekabel tumas regular oichlin u'mashkin, except according to Shita of some of the Rishonim hold that it's metami without touching Tuma, but only to be Metame Mashkin. Then we have the third level down. The second level also includes wine of our own that a goy touched, not necessarily wine that was in the reshus of the goy. So Stam Yenon is a broad term, and it's not all the same, as we're going to see. There are cases where we will be more machmer on wine that was in the reshus of the Yaakov, and that came from them, rather than the simple touching of a Jew's wine, or a chashash of negiah, and so on. This we'll get into later. And then the third darga down is when it's Jewish wine that was given over to a goy to take care of. Over there, it's only osir bishtia, and it's mutar bana'ah. Now that's what Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater saying yesterday. Today, the Gemara continues now on the third line, questioning the third darga of Rabbi Yochanan, that you're telling me that wine that was placed in the reshut of the akru, and we're assuming at this point that there was no control over the access of the akru to that wine. So in that case, you're saying that it would be mutar bahana'an, it's not the same as stam yenam. Now, there's two issues here that we need to consider. One is, if it's in the reshus of the akru, might it not have been switched for something else? So perhaps the Akum has a lower quality wine of his own, and he switches his out on it, because we often have that consideration even for non-wine issues, as we'll see. The other consideration is, might he perhaps have been menasech the wine, since it was under his control, and would we not have to worry for the regular things we worry as Tam Yena, that maybe it was nitnasech? So ask the Gemara about this third madrega. You're telling me that it's asur b'shtiyah mutar bana'ah. Now that tells me that you're not concerned that what you're looking at is actually regular stam yena, and that he didn't switch it out on you, which is called chilufe. Problem is that it says in the Mishnah, in the Mai, that amafkit perotav etzel oved kochavim. Here, of course, we're not talking about wine. We're talking about just perot. But perot can sometimes be osir because they have kedushat shvi'it or yisurim shvi'it, or they may not be meisered and so on. Now, you had perfectly kosher fruit, but if you give them over into the reshut of the Oved Kochavim, and he's going to be taking care of them, when you get them back, you cannot assume they're the same fruit you gave them. And at this point, they have to be treated keperotav shel Oved Kochavim, in terms of the dinim of Shvi'it, and in terms of the dinim of Maaser. So why over here would you not have to worry about Chilufi? In which case this should need to be looked at as non-Jewish wine and have all the dinim of Category 2, not Category 3. And says the Gemara, what we're talking about over here is a case where Kagon Sheyichid Lo Keren Zavit. It's where he gave him a room. A Keren Zavit in those days, what they call Keren Zavit, does not mean a corner of a room. It means a room in the house, which is a Keren Zavit of the home. So it's lockable. A room of whatever kind. It could be a closet, a bedroom, whatever it is. But he gave him an area of the house which was lockable and gave him the key. Or sealed it in some way that he would recognize whether it was open. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, then why aren't you allowed to drink the wine? Why does it say, it was Jewish wine and it was kept under lock and key, or it was kept under a seal, that would be sufficient, would it not? Because, I mean, this is Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan was quoting Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira yesterday in the three categories. The same Rabbi Yochanan came to the town of Parvod, where Bar Kappara used to be the Rosh Yeshiva. He had already been nifter at the time that he got there. But Rabbi Yochanan came there and he said, Klum yesh mishnat Bar Kappara. Is there any one who's a bucky in the mission of Bar Kappara in this town? Came along Reb Tanchum, the Min Paro, and he told him over from a Kabbalah that he had from Bar Kappara. And Tonale Hamafkid Yeno Etzelo Vekochavim. Somebody who leaves his wine with an akum is mutar b'shtiyah. It's even mutar to drink it. Maybe he said it's a sur b'shtiyah. So if you're telling me it's under lock and key, why isn't it mutar? Kori Alein Rabbi Yochanan was very happy, and he said, that's the pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech was referring to when he said Makom Shiyipola Eitz, the place where the tree fell, meaning the place where Bar Kappara was niftar. Sham Yehu, it will still be there. I mean, what do you mean it'll still be there? I mean, he's dead. Sham Yehu, Sakadaika. Ela Sham Yehu Perotav, that we're still able to enjoy the fruits of the labor of Bar Kappara, because his Talmidim were able to continue to Paskin Halachos according to Bar Kappara. So it means now that he is saying that it should be mutar. How do you explain the contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's original psak of Category 3, where we're saying if it's under lock and key, it remains osur b'shtiyah, it's only mutar b'hana'a. And here, where apparently it's also just under lock and key, it's mufkad etzlo, it's mutar even b'shtiyah. Omer Rabbi Zeir Lokash, it's really not a problem, because the two piskei halachot really follow two different approaches in the chumrah of Hafkadat Yain, and it's a well-known machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan. So, ha Rebbe Eliezer, ha Rabbanan, what is that machloket? The Tanya. Echad alokeach v'echad asocher bayit b'chatziro shelo v'kochavim. Somebody buys or rents a home where he's not going to be living. It's inside the chotzer v'nakum, but he has the house to himself. It means that he has the key. And he is now going to fill it up with his own wine, Jewish wine, storage. Malu yain. And he keeps either a mafteach, or he has it sealed, a chotam, b'yad Yisrael, which is exactly the case that we're talking about. Rabbi Eliezer matir, the chachamim osrim. Now the chachamim, when they were osrim, it's not they were osrim, the result. They were osir to do this. But if it's done, they were matir b'ana'ah, they're just osrim b'shtiyah. So therefore, what we have over here is a machloket. So where we find that Bar Kappara was matir and Rabbi Yochanan was happy, that's going to be Rabbi Eliezer. Where we said before the psak yesterday that Category 3 remains osur b'shtiyah, that's going to leave the Rabbanan. And it's not a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. In one, he was going like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira was following the sheet of the Rabbanan. And in one, he was going like Bar Kappara was following the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Omer Pchia Bereda, Reb Chia Bar Nachmeni, Omer Pchista Marav. Some say it was Rav Chista or Ze'iri. Or some say it was Rav Chista who was quoting Ze'iri, but he quoted a Ze'iri through Abba Bar Chama. And he said, Abba Bar Chama said to me that Akhamar Ze'iri, that Allah, incredibly answered, we could be makil in this case and assume that there was no chiluf. Memela, it's mutter, even b'shtiyah. And that's how we would pass it. Like the second psak. Now, remember that the situation over here is that if the mafteach or chotam of a room, now we're not talking about chotam b'tol chotam, we're not talking about both the mafteach and the chotam. So in other words, we have a key or, even though there is a girsa and, those rishonim will have that girsa mafarish and or, which is often and, the. So that if you have either a mafteach or a chotam, but you own the property or rented the property, then it's okay to continue to drink that wine. And that's how we're paskin over here. I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer of a moment ago. Amar Rabbi Elazar, hakol mishtamer b'chotem echad. Now, the din is, and here we get into some confusion, we just seem to be saying now that chotem echad or mafteach, which are equivalents, are sufficient to prevent chilufi. Now remember that there is a difference between the chashashas that we have. Chilufe would be you actually take out what's in there and replace it with something else. Then there's the other chashash that we have is that maybe he was menasek from this wine or was nogea in it, put his hand into the barrel to get something out. And there's different levels of chashash, different levels of protection, as we're going to see in the sugya. So what Rabbi Elazar the Amora says is that as long as you've got a chotem echad, any of the things that you need to worry about chilufe, so such as meat, you don't know, I mean, you had some meat, you don't know that the guy didn't think maybe he'll take the kosher meat and give you some older non-kosher meat and switch it, and you wouldn't know. So if you have a chotem echad, that's sufficient to protect that meat. Chutz min hayayin, she'eno mishtamer b'chotem echad. Mashiach, when it comes to wine, you would need a double chotam. And the chotam echad is not enough. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan was saying, afilo yayin mishtamer b'chotam echad. That's not true. You can rely on wine, even b'chotam echad, to drink the wine. And the truth is, lo pligi. They were not going according to the same mandi omar. It's not that they have now a machlokas on one another. It's that they were going to different mandi omrim. Ha, Kerab Eliezer. So if you're telling me now that it was mutter b'chotem echad, that makes perfectly good sense. It makes sense alibet Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, you can say, akol mishtam rafilu yayin. And in the other case, where you're saying that you need a chotem mito chotem, that would be going alibet the Rabbanan. So that's one possibility. So ha, Kerab Eliezer. Now others have it a little bit different. That Omar Rabbi Elazar the Amora, hakol mishtamer b'chotem b'tochot, chutz min hayayin. According to this, Rabbi Elazar is being very machmir, and he's claiming that even if you have a chotem b'tochotam, wine is not good enough. Whereas yayin, eino mishtamer b'chotem b'tochotam. We're very machmir on the wine, because over there, since the makor of the yisr is Avodah Zarah, and over there the Torah says, lo yidbak b'yadcham u'uma min acherem. So in general, we're very makbid in the shiurim and on our harchok from Avodah Zarah. So for yayin, we were makbid even chotam v'tochotam. And Rabbi Yochanan in this version said that afil yayin is b'shtamer, but only chotam v'tochotam. Now that does not really jibe with what Rabbi Yochanan said before. Well, over there he was talking about either the mafteach or the chotam. So how do we fix that? In this Lashon, Tarvayo Kerabona, actually, in this Lashon, they're certainly not going Aliba to Rabbi Yezer. They're going Aliba the Sheet of the Rabbonan, who said that it was usher to be semech on having the key to the room that's in the Chotzer of the Akum. But the question is, what happens if you did? Now, the Rabbonan were talking about, it's usher. But they didn't say, and if you went ahead and did it, what would be the level of the yisur that results? So there, they're arguing in what did the Rabbanan mean? So my server, ki pligi Rabbanan aleid Rabbi Eliezer, b'chotem echad. So one man, the Omer, understood that if it was a chotem b'tochotem, that's what Rabbi Yochanan understood, that even the Rabbanan would have been matir. When it said that they asked it, was only because it was either the mafteach or the chotem. Umar Savar, the Rabbanan asked under all circumstances. Now, filo betoch chotem betoch chotem, they would have asked. So there, the question of chotem betoch chotem is a question of tircha. In other words, it's not that we hold that somehow or other it's possible to make things unforgeable by having a chotem betol chotem. I mean, if you can forge one, why can't you forge the other? The point of a chotem betol chotem is that it's just what we try to do against burglaries today also. We understand there's no way to stop a ganav. That what you want to do is to make your property less desirable because it's going to take him another 5 minutes to break into your car. So somebody else's car, it'll take him 2 minutes to break in, and your car will take 3 minutes to break in. That's also a difference. No, seriously, that's the logic of it.
I'm laughing because I had a guest on the Harley Davidson. He said, oh my God, I locked my keys in the car. And Eric was sitting next to her. He said, oh, he put his hands on the window, went like this, took the keys out. It wasn't 2 seconds. He said, you really have to be more careful. It wasn't 2 seconds.
What did he do? How did he open the window?
He put his hands on the side window and pushed. It was a van. And pushed in opposite directions and opened up the window with pressure.
So that the idea of chotem betol chotem is just that it's diminishingly kedai for him to go to this tircha just to switch the wine.
So, really like
too much trouble. We're about to get into it. Okay. Heichi dami chotam betol chotam. Now that you've brought up the sugya, what is a chotam betol chotam? Now, I want you to know that the Peskin bring that if you have a serious chotam, which indeed cannot be forged without tremendous, let's say you have a holographic chotam or something, over there it has the same thing as a chotam betol chotam. The chotam betol chotam is meant not as insurance against forgery, as I say. It's meant to simply make things more difficult. And that it accounts for the strange things that we call chotam betol chotam that we're about to encounter. So what would be a chotam betol chotam? Amar Rava, look, you take a bowl, a large bowl, which extends over the edge of the barrel, and you put it upside down over the barrel, and now you attach that bowl to the barrel. Besides the closure of the barrel itself, and in those days, the closure of the barrel, of course, was done with actual teeth. So it was a permanent closure. Yeah, it was a sealant. It was a cement sealant. And here, over that, you cement a bowl, which then is cemented around the bottom. Now, there may be no chotam, literal chotam, at all. Though there are some Rishonim, the Ritvalerans, it means that there's a chotam on the seal, on the cement. Not just the cement. But many say that doesn't matter. The fact that the cement is dry, that's the chotam. So now, since in order to open up that barrel, he's going to have to first break through the first cement, take off the top, then he's going to have to break through the second layer, take off the top, it's not going to die for him. He's going to have to redo the whole thing and make it look like a tircha. So why do it? That's the issue over here. So that would itself be a chotem etol chotem. So since if you put the agna puma de chavita, sharika vechatima, now is it sharika vechatima, according to most learn that you do the plastering and then it dries. There are some who learn that there needs to be a stamp before it dries that now dries into it. And then underneath, of course, you have the standard closure of the top, but this extended beyond the standard closure. If it didn't extend beyond the standard closure, then if you remove the standard closure, this would come off with it, so it doesn't do a darn thing. So then you have chotam betol chotam. V'lo, if it doesn't itself extend over and it's not itself cemented, then it's only one chotam. Or let's say you have a dikula umihadak. You take a basket, which is very similar to our milk bottle closures. You take a basket and you weave the top of the basket so that the final closure of the basket is over the barrel. So that now in order to get the basket off, you're going to have to pull off the top layer like we do when we break the plastic of the cover. And then you're going to have to go and undo the actual cover. That also would be a chotam betol chotam. But if it's lomahadik, if it wasn't attached by closing it, finishing the weave of the basket over it, then that's not called a chotam betol chotam. And then you just pick it up, put it back down. I mean, that's nothing. Well, let's say if you're talking about a skein instead of a leather holder, instead of an actual porcelain or clay barrel. So then, if you would take the leather container, turn it upside down, and put it into a case, a carrying case, into a diskia. And you would have the chatimat piv lamata. You would have the closure of the leather on the bottom, and then on top, you're going to close the actual briefcase. So now you have a chotam betol chotam. Because in order to get to the opening of the leather flask, you're going to have to open up the briefcase completely. And there's no way for you to get in there without breaking the full seal of the briefcase. So now you've got two seals. So that's a chotem betol chotem.
If they were both facing the same way, don't they also have to break two seals?
No, apparently not. It's just to open it a little bit and to turn it over and the wine will come out. That's not a problem. It's the tircha that's involved. As a matter of fact, the Taz says that over here, the first chotem is only the fact that it's upside down. You don't need a chotem in the sense that a chotem would mean a recognizable knot that is made specially the way you make it. That's also a chotem echa. You don't even need that. Everybody, the Akronim or Chaymik, I don't know, what kind of chotem is that? Just, what's the tircha of turning something upside down? It's not a tircha at all. Okay, but I'm bringing you just to see how makel this idea is. That it's a mistake to think it means a whole fancy closure with wax and not forgery. That's not the point. Piv lamala, however, if the top is facing up, then it's not called a chota b'tol chota. V'chi chayiv pumi legav. Now, you don't even need to actually have an outer case. Because let's say you tie the flask in a particular way. Then you flip it so that the knot is inside. And now you tie above that, again in a particular way. So now you've got two knots. That's also a chota b'tol chota. V'chi chayiv pumi legav. And then again, you tie it in a special way, v'tzayir v'chotim. That's also chotim b'tol chotim. This is what they do on the old, if you recall, I don't know if they still do it. I think they do. The old post office boxes, bags. When they would put in things into the bag, they would first tie the bag, put it in, and then seal it with a clamp. Yeah. And then throw that on the boat so that everything would get soaking wet. You would receive your sperm 3 months later as soggy lumps.
Untouched, but given
exactly.
The mice of the Rashida sperm in Cairo.
Oh, yeah.
And well, the slave was found on the dock in Cairo, stacks of it. I didn't hear it from Rebbe.
No, I didn't hear it.
Somebody walked by, Hashim went by, and saw stacks of the safer sitting on the dock in Cairo because the bags were.
Before the war.
First
step,
whatever,
1930,
whatever.
Uh-huh. It rings a bell now that you mention it. Okay, so that's also chotem b'tol chotem. Toner Rabbanan. Now, there was also a question, you'll recall, that even though nowadays the kutim have a din of akum totally, that's a gezerah. But originally, they were not considered to be akum. And in fact, they would not be themselves menasech yayin for avodat kochavim. However, they didn't have the gezerah, of course, of samyena. So originally, Brishona, you omrim, that the wine from the town of Ein Kushi, which was that town of Kutim, was usher because they were right near Birat Sarika, which was Akum, and they would do business with them, trade, and they weren't makbid on the goyim, touching their wine. Originally, they ushered the wine in Barkata, which was a town of Kutim, Mipnei Kfar Parshai, which was a town of Akum. Originally, they ushered the wine in Zagdur, which was Kutim, Mipnei Kfar Salim, and that was a place of Akum. Chazrul Omar, and then they changed the psak and were more make. That the Chavayot Petuchot, if you have an open barrel, so then it's ushered because they're not makbid on the Nagi of the Akum. But if they're stumot, they're mutarot. Why? Mikara, Maika Savar. What did they think initially? Ulabasov, my Savar. Mikara Savar, originally they said, Ein kuti makbid on maga oved kochavim. Loshna ptuchot, loshna stumot. Since the kutim are not makbid, we have to assume that it's tamyai. Ulabasov Savar. Kilokopit up to chot, that the kuti is only not careful on open barrels because he figures a Jew wouldn't buy it anyway. But if it's satum, he wants to do business with the Jewish population. So if he's got it sealed, he wants to have a good reputation. Tosis points out, I mean, the barrels don't originally come sealed. Nobody's figured out how to do that. You have to first fill the barrel and then you seal it. So what was to prevent the maga of the akum before you sealed it? He says, no, that's the point, obviously. The barrels that he keeps sealed He wants to do business with Jews. So initially, he's makpid. But it gets out that they're not makpid, then nobody's going to buy the sealed barrels. So those that were intended to remain sealed, after they're sealed, they were careful milachatchila, so that the Jews should be able to be samech on them, that they don't allow maga of an akum.
Why are we allowed to drink the wine?
We're not. As I said, this is only before the Gezerah.
Oh, I missed that.
How did you miss it?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm here.
Okay. So on that, they are makpid. Ask the Gemara, are they indeed? The stumot mutarot, you're telling me that nowadays we would be matir, the sealed barrels for amini. Hashaleach avicho yain biyat kuti. I mean, this is even more chomer than the more chumra that you initially said. Here it says, you have your own wine, so this is Jewish wine, which you send together with a trucker who's a kuti. I mean, obviously, if it's an akum, it's a problem, but even a kuti. Or you're sending even things like tzir and murias, biyado veko chavim, where the tzir and murias itself doesn't become osir, unless it's been, the tzir is the brine. Murias contains actual crushed pieces of fish and fish innards.
Sorry?
I don't know. So over there, the chashash would be for the switching. Switching with their own, and since this thing usually either they're treif fish or they include wine, they're going to take out some of their own, some of the murias, which is more expensive than wine. They'll take out murias and they'll put in wine instead, so it still tastes good. But meanwhile, they got the fish. So imakir chotamo usetamo. So if the guy recognizes himself that it's been sealed or it's been marked in a way that he seizes his own, then it's mutter. Vim lava sur, but if not, it's osur. Now here that means that you cannot rely on the kuti not to allow the maga akum. You just said, I mean, this is even where it's Jewish wine. Right? You just said that if he has his own wine, well, I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. He's not going to be caught like a ganav if he allows it. And nonetheless, he's going to be careful because he wants it to be acceptable for Jews. So, kosher king, the trucker is going to have to be careful. Says the Gemara, no, that's not true. I'm Rizera Lokasha. Can't be here, can't be there. If it's a trucker, he figures nobody's going to know the difference. Who's going to know what happens at a truck stop somewhere? Mashenkin, if it's in town, you never know. Somebody may have noticed that he allowed goyim in and he opened up the barrels and allowed them to taste or whatever. But if he's just transporting things, so of course he's going to be less makpid. Matkifla Reb Yirmiya. You know something? You guys are so naive. You're saying that since it's in Walmarts, it was never in a truck. That's what you're saying. What do you think? It grows in Walmarts. It was brought there in a truck. So that means that if you're telling me you can't rely on the truck, how can you rely on Walmarts? In the end, everything is trucked. So meaning, Hanach the Ir Lobadaragato, how do you think they got here? You know? Elam Rabbi Yirmiya, the difference is whether the roads are now heavily traveled by people sensitive to these issues. We're talking about Ben Agitot. If it's the wine season and things are being moved on the road from the Gat to the town to the stores, so everybody's on the road during that season. And over there, since Kule Alma, since the whole world now is transporting wine, so now Mirta, now he's worried that he's going to be seen, even though he's on the derech. But normally, if he's on the derech, he's not makpid. Because he says, oh boy, if I let her go in here, it's just what I need. Just at this minute, we're going to have, what's his name, drive by. And he calls it a mafsidili. I'm going to get in big trouble. Itma. Mipnei ma asru sheikhar shalavde kochavim. Now this is a remarkable Gemara. As Tosafot points out, we have no record in any Mishnah or Braita of beer being usur. And what this must mean is that there was a later Gezerah at the time of the Amoraim that took hold that usured beer as well. And now we want to know what was the basis of that Isra. I mean, it's not the derech to pour out beer to an Ovid Kachov, Damvaris Kachov. So Rami Bar Chama Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, it's one of the additional Harchakot Mishum Chatnut. In order to avoid beer parties where you get close to the girls and the families are mitkarev da'atam, so they didn't allow drinking together with goyim. Yeah. Rav Nachman Amar Mishum Gilui No. It was a real problem. It was a problem not because of Isser Akum, but because of the danger of Gilui. That's the Gemara. What do you mean Gilui? Gilui of what? A Gilui de Mayim. You're talking about the Gilui of the Naizata, where the beer ferments. We also leave it open. And Anami Megalinan, and the snakes don't drink from that. No, it's fermenting. And it needs to be open anyway to release the byproducts. Otherwise it explodes. Ella de Chavita. Well, what are you talking about? Talking about now after it's packaged in the barrels? We also open up the barrels for the same reason. Snakes don't drink beer. They only drink wine. Lotz, did you ever hear anybody say the Eitz Hadas was beer? Come on. Maybe Rav Papa would have been willing to go that far. Says the Gemara. No. It's talking about over here. They let the water sit because they need to have very clear water. So they let the water sit for a few days to let all of the pollution settle down to the bottom. The gases go out. So they leave it open. So that period, it's Megula. And therefore, they can't use the beer because the beer now has in it ingredients that may have the Nachash's Eris in it. By the way, I must mention to you, Daniil sent me yesterday a beautiful article of recent research that was just published. Apparently, the antitoxins of snakes, so there's a lot of times that they fail. Where they fail, people would sue the hospitals claiming that they were given the antitoxin of a wrong snake. Why didn't it work? This group just published research to show that the toxin varies with the age of the snake.
Wow.
So if you use an antitoxin that was created by injecting a young snake's venom, it's not going to work against an old snake, or vice versa.
Cool.
Or a middle-aged snake is constant.
Close to the top of the
world. It's fantastic. So they just figured this out. You understand how Nagea? The Gemara was saying, what's it, Nagea, where you drink? Over here, it's Nagea, life and death. In terms of the antitoxin manufacture. Fantastic. Okay, anyway, but getting back to that, it was beautiful, beautiful article. What's that? Well, I mean, there's ways to tell the age of the snake. Isn't it something about snake rings, you know? No. Oh, you mean what snake bit you? How old the snake was? I thought you meant what you... Yeah, of course. Yeah, but I mean, you make an estimate of the size and so on and so forth. Or maybe you can use varied antitoxins. Okay, anyway, getting back to the sugya. So, it must be talking about their estimar, if the chashash is mishum gilui, then if the beer aged properly, then it should be okay. Because elamiata yashan, if it's old beer and it has matured, it ought to be mutter to drink. Because omarav yashan mutar. If you have beer which is matured beer, then, by the way, it's a gears of your omarav bichanina. But if it would have had poison in it, it never matures. Doesn't allow the chemical processing for the beer to actually get its good taste. A mini holy ashen. And in the case where you have wine that turns into vinegar, and if it turned into vinegar, it's also mutar, because it would never have allowed it to turn into vinegar. So why is it that he says that we would have made a gezera of beer? If it's good beer, then it could be poisonous. So the gezera yashan atu chadash. Somebody may buy some junky Mexican stuff, you know. So where it's fresh beer over there, people are not going to know the nafkamina, mature beer, young beer. And because of that, they asser it.
It's a proportion issue.
Rav Papa, not poisonous, but Rav Papa, who of course wasn't going to go without his beer, so when he passed a bar, I mean, he wouldn't drink the beer in the bar. He would
take it to go.
He would take it to go, exactly. And they baba de chanuta. So he would move out outside, you know, in front.
With Mar Sinai, what was his?
No. You see, because if the yisr because of chatnut, then it's not that the beer is aser, it's that the setting is aser. So he would bring it out to the outside and drink it. Whereas Rav Achoi was more machmer. He would buy the beer, but he would bring it home.
He
would bring his own beer. Exactly. Actually, that's a question. We're going to talk about that. He would bring it to his house, and he would drink it there. V'tarvayo mishum chatnut. Both of them hold that there was no iser on the beer proper, and it's only because of chatnut. Since it's because of chatnut, so they weren't makbid, because chatnut is essentially a social issue. So it's how you do it, not what you do. And therefore, if you're not drinking together with the akum in the way that they would be koveya their shtia in a bar or whatever, so then it would be mutter. And it's very interesting. There's little of this that is nogea lahalacha for a very fascinating reason. Many of the peskim bring, and they ended up, Rambam brings it, relied on it lahalacha, that all of this was said on the original gezeira of beer on Bovel. But that beer was not beer that was made out of grains. Exactly. So if it's grain beer, like we use, they never acid it. Therefore it's mut.
Even though it's
Mishnah. Exactly. It's not all. So now the question is, what about the issue of the chatnut itself, though? Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva in which he taines that if they rely on this, it was only legabe being in a makom where you're drinking kiderech, the akos they relied on. But the question had arisen about making a parlor meeting by a rich guy. And over there, they're going to have the actual party. He was going to serve drinks in his home. So Rav Moshe tainted that any isurim that were made out chatnut, the actual mesibah, nobody was ever makel on. They were makel on doing things kederech, as if you were drinking a mesibah. But to join an actual party, yeah, that an akum is throwing over there to have the drinks, and a wedding, he was matir. Because the wedding was not a drinking, you know, it wasn't for the purpose of drinking, but the drinks come along. But over here, a cocktail party is drinking. And that's exactly what it was about. So we asked
her.
Yeah, he asked her.
Wow.
Because even though we're making on these kind of beers and so on, which of course, you know, leads to all types of other considerations of such things, it was Mater joining the office party, Mishum Eva. No.
Just held in the office and not in the home. It's also different.
Yeah, but it's also, it's expected. I mean, you have to go.
Even during the holidays, their holidays?
Yeah, but again, only Mishum Eva.
Yeah,
like a lot of things.
Should, but if you...
Yeah, all right. I mean, it discusses the situation.
It's funny how many Jews own taverns in Europe.
What do you mean? We have in our own Daf Yomi and tavern owner, wouldn't we?
Yeah, well, like, Jewish town in the city, bought, built, and sold two of them. No, I mean, I guess it was clearly a timely gazette, right?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the history to agree or not disagree. I don't know what was going on. No, we're going to see about chatnut later with wine. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna came to the town of Margwan, and they brought him wine. He refused to drink. No, sorry, I left. Oh, Rava, sorry, I skipped. Rav Achai Avirar Chaka Yeterah. So even though Rav Papa held that the Yisr of Chatnut was kosher to drink outside of the store, the Bachai made a greater harchaka. But it's not that they were arguing on any fundamental thing. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna came to the town of Margvan. Now, in that town, they were Jewish, but they weren't makbid on the yayin, stam yayin. And they brought him wine to drink, and he wouldn't drink it. They brought him beer to drink, he wouldn't even drink the beer. Okay, Bishlei Mother Chamra, I understand. He was Chayesh for Shimtza, Shemetz Psul, meaning that there were, maybe it was Yain Nesa. But Shichra, I mean, the Shichra is only, if you're telling me, it's a social takona. So what's there? I mean, over here, everybody's Jewish. So Mishum Mai, Mishum Shimtza the Shimtza. He was afraid that if they saw him accepting their beer, then that would even cause them to be more matir, the wine. And here it's interesting, it's an interesting chazanish on this Gemara, which is something that we've spoken about, and we've mentioned it yesterday. What do you mean, Mishum Shimtza Shimtza Yo'as? There's not such gezeira where you could just make your own gezeiras, and yet, I mean, how does such a thing work? So he basically says what we were saying yesterday, that included in an initial gezeira is the desire to achieve particular results. And the truth is that if you are a Talmud Chacham and see in a particular locale that such results will only be achieved by handling it in a particular way, you can actually be Doresh a Gezerah. In other words, it's included within the original intent of a Gezerah that it can be applicable even in ways that it was not normally assigned. Now, this leads to the opposite question, which is very important, not discussed here by the Chazon Ish, but discussed by the Rambam and the other Rishayim. This whole question of Yayin Stamina, is it a Hashash of Yayin Nesach? Is that the Iker point that the Rabbonan said they're going to answer this because maybe it'll come to this? Or is it a Gezerah because we're afraid that they were actual Menasech? Now, if it's a Gezerah, then the din is that if the tam of the Gezerah, it's not a takana, if the tam of the Gezerah is batal, then the Gezerah no longer holds. So it's not that they were mitakein to view stam yayin as if it was yayin nesa. They just said, look, you know, you have to be chayish. It's very often going to be brought to the church. Therefore, you should worry about it. If I know it's not brought to the church, so let's say the Rambam's example is, nowadays we live among Muslims. They don't do any of this garbage. So why would you worry about it? You know, it's not their interest, not their minhag. So the Rambam indeed says that if you're talking about goyim that are not interested in Avodah Zarah, then the Isurim, now not all the Isurim, but he says it's like this. There's a difference, that's why I pointed out to you, it's a major difference between Yayin that has a chashad of negiyat akum and wine that is actually in the rishus of the akum and purchased from the akum. The general word stam yenom goes on both, but the halachas are very different. So the Rambam is matir chashad of negiya completely of an Arab, because that is always one darga down, meaning it's asur b'shtiya but not asur b'ano. So if it's on a person that you know is not oved avodah zarah, so then it's not even asur b'shtiya. And there's many, many cases where it takes each one down one darga. Again, that's the way some of the Achronim understand the Rambam. It may well be that he holds it. There's two different issues. There's a takana to view the wine in the Rishus of a Goy as Yayin Esav, to give it the same chumrah, in which case it doesn't matter. But then there's the other thing, which is a chashad. That's a gezerah where Goyim were rogil to be menasech. Nowadays, where they're not menasech, so it's not important. On that he's Mekel, not on the Takana part. And this is my own Kiddush, this maybe two dargas in the year. I didn't see anything that I'm talking about. But the way that this got translated into modern terms is where religion became far more socially oriented. So that, as the Gemara says, you know, nowadays, Goyim Shebechutz Laretz, they're not really Ovid Avadazar. It's just the kind of thing that you do, Minig Avoteim B'Yadeim. It's like the Jews in Chutz Laretz. They're not really Jewish. No, Tosfos points this out, that it's, you know, they learn from Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they take things seriously. So if Rabbi Yashiv said something, they'll make a big fuss over it in Lakewood too. But it's not that, it's not really the same religion. So, it's an amazing... The same thing is true of the Goyim. The Goyim, they don't really believe in all of this stuff in any way that's committed. It's like a social kind of thing. So because of that, they view the Goyim like the Rambam views the Yishmaelim. I mean, you ever hear of a Goy who goes into your house, takes wine, and takes out his little ketchke and pours wine in front of him? It's ridiculous.
Even though it's part of the service.
Yeah, but the whole thing is stupid. I mean, this is what the guy's thinking about. He's working in a Jewish home. And he's thinking, at last I have a chance to take out my crucifix and pour out a little wine. Yeah. And if you told any guy, does he think you were totally out of your mind, right? So therefore the whole thing is a joke nowadays. Therefore we wouldn't be makbid on those kind of things if it wasn't mamash and rishus of the yard. Okay, so there's a lot of kulas because of that in situations. Also, nafkamita is lagabi, the type of chotem that you need, whether it's chayish for maga, or is it chayish for actual chilufi, and so on. These are things that will get clear as we go. So the level of the takana, the level of the gezera, a cork, it depends. If a cork is not replaceable easily, undetectable, then it's a chotam, and then the plastic over it is a chotam.
That's why they're manufacturing it deliberately.
I'm not kosher wine to that, too, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's convenient, right?
Well, it's not only convenient, it prevents, to some extent, corked wine, where air gets into the wine. If they seal it.
This also is depending, assuming
that Christianity is a vodazar.
Well, I mean, that changes during the periods also. Not only, I mean, there's Catholicism, and then there's just these plain social...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that itself is a question, whether Shituf has it in Avodah Zarah, or
which
since,
itself
you know,
is a machlokas.
Itself a machlokas, exactly. Yeah. But I'm saying this is nowadays, even assuming that you'd call it Avodah Zarah today, we wouldn't be mocked. But that's how the poskim understand the approach of the Ramah, even in Europe. So Amar Rav, Hai Shechra di Armo Shori. Actually, you should know that Shechar is muter to drink, but my son shouldn't drink it. Let me tell you. What kind of sack is that? Look, baby, either it's muter, it's usher. I mean, if it's muter, then it's muter for your own son. How can you possibly issue a psak like that? No, what happened is that Rav was of the opinion that the problem was the problem of Gilui that we mentioned before. That was the whole problem. So he held that nowadays they use hops. If you put in hops in the beer, then the sharpness of the hops cancels the effect of the venom. So he says that when you put in Ozo Miruri de Keshuta Vekodele Zihore, but the Lunki Malki Leitve, somebody who is ill is still affected, his illness worsens when he drinks this. Since Chia Bari is an ill person, he shouldn't drink it. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, in terms of the Isser, that it's a sakana for a well person, it's not in this area. But my son, who is not well, shouldn't drink it. Okay, perhaps we should, it's been too long, I think, and perhaps we should stop here. Vatnan hamavki perotav. It's mutter in a case where you had lo keren zavi. See, hachi bishtiyan amin lishtero, dora Reb Yochanan, ikla le barvad. Omar, klum yesh mishnat bar kapara. Tana le Reb Tam from the min parvad, hamak mafkid yeno, it's a lovet kochavim mutar bishtiya. Vekore ala, makom shi pola et sham yahu. Sham yahu, sakadaita. Ela sham yu perotav. Hakol mishtamer bechotam echad, chutz ben hayayin, she'in mishtamer bechotam echad, Reb Yochanan amar, afilu yayin mishtamer bechotam echad, v'lo pligi. They're going according to different tanoim. Hoke Reb Eliezer, hoke Rabbanan. Ikri amri omer Rabbi Elazar, hakol mishtamer bechotam betolchotam, chutz ben hayayin, she'inu mishtamer bechotam betolchotam, Reb Yochanan amar, afilu yayin mishtamer bechotam betolchotam. The Tarvaya Kirabonan, Marsava Kipliga Rabbanan, Al later Rabbiliezer Bechotam Echad, Avo Bechotam Betochotam Mutar, Umarsara Filchotam Betochotam Aserabonan. Hegidomi Chotam Betochotam Omarova, Agna Pumede Havita, Shrika Vachatima, that already gives you Chotam Betochotam. Milolo, Dikulo Mihadak, Avichotam Betochotam, Loma Adik, Lo Avichotam Betochotam, Nod Bediskia, in which chatimat piv is lamata, avichot betolchota. Piv lamala lo avichot betolchota. Vechichayev pume legav, and then he again is sire of a chotim. So that's also chotim betolchota without the outside case. Tana Rabbana. Brishona yomrim yain shel in kushi of the kutim is osur mishum birat sarika. And shel barketa is osur mishum kvar parshai. And shel zagdur is osur because of kvar salim. Chozru lomar chaviyot p'tuchot asurot, stumot muterot, mikora makasovar, mikora sovar, enkuti makpid al magal kum, loshna p'tuchot v'loshna stumot, Really now, stumot mutarot? I thought, Ramini, hashaleach avicha yain biat kuti, or even sir murias biat akum, im makir chotamo visetamo mutar, vim avasur? On Reb Zilakash, it can't be a kambaderach. Matkal of Reb Yirmi, amini, anach beir never came in the truck, you think? And therefore, the truck driver is mirta. If that's the case, Yashan Tishtere, the Amar Rav or Amar Chanina, Yashan Mutar, because Eno Menichol Yashen, Urichmitz Mutar, Eno Menichel Achmitz. Yeah, but it's a Gezerah Yashan Atu Chadash. Rav Papa would be Mafikinle above the Chanut of Vishati, outside. Rav Abba Maitel Levete, Vishav Tarvel, are holding Mishum Chatnut. It's just that Rav Achai was Avidar Chakai Yeteratah. Rav Shmuel bar Bitzna ikla lemagman. Ayte lechamra lo ishti. Ayte lechichra. He wouldn't even drink the shichra. So Bishlem lechamra can understand. Mishum shimtza the shemetz iser. But shichra mishum mai. Mishum shimtza the shimtza. Omer Rav, I shichra dar mo shori. But chi abri lo nishti mine. Ah, come on. No man of shav. I shori lekulam a shori. I aser lekulayam a aser. Ela Rav Savar Mishum Giluye, also Merura de Kashuta Vekoli Leziori. But if someone is ill with a Loki, he becomes worse off. Malkele Tvei. That's why he said, Chiyabri, O the Loki, Lo Nishtemine. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle.
Am I just poor? So all in told, I decided to go with this. I have researched this thing a little bit around, unless you got something brand new.
No.
Okay, gentlemen, we're holding on Daf Chof Zayin. We got all the way up to Lamed Aleph, I think, on the top, right? Mm-hmm. No, we didn't. We got up to Lamed on the Beis on the bottom. And we're up to the second from the last line. There are three different dinim in Yenot in terms of the halachas of Iser, of dealing with wine of Goyim. One is Yayin Nesek, which has actually been poured out to Avodat Kochavim. There the halacha is that it's Asur Bahana'a. It's not only usher to drink, but you mustn't even derive any benefit from it, which means you wouldn't be allowed to sell it or anything like that. Not only that, because it has a din of takrovet akum, it has a din of an actual mate. And therefore it would be metame atuma chamura even as a mate ba'ohel. Now the truth is, that's how Rashi learns it. The truth is that this is a machlokas. It happens to be that since this is quoted by Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, that's Rav Yehuda ben Becerra's shita when he argues with the Rabbanan. However, the Rabbanan hold that the tumah that was given, and of course it's a tumah in the Rabbanan, but was given to Yayin Nesach, was like nevela, not like mace, so it wouldn't be metami v'ohel. That, anyway, that's category number one. The category number two is stam yina, which means wine that you buy from a guy that you have no idea whether it was mitnasech to avodas kochavim or not. There it is asur bahana'a, just as the real yain nesach is, because of this gizera. Here it's only, of course, a drabona. In the first case it would be a dioraita. Umetame tumat mashkin berviit. And its only tumah would be the tumah of normal ochlin umashkin. In other words, it wouldn't be a self-generated tumah. It would be a makabel tumah like anything else, and that would require ruvi'it. That's how Rashi learns. And this is Rashi's pshat all over Shas, that tumah is only a makabel tumah, mashkin and ochlin, makabel tumah only in a shir of a ruvi'it. And Tosfos all over argues, and he holds that those shiurim were settled to be matane others, they themselves would be makabel tumah. In which case this whole thing doesn't make any sense, besides which, he says, What do I need a skiddush to tell me it's batami tumas? I mean, why not? That's certainly not going to be worse because it's yayin nesach, is it? It won't be megabotum at all. I mean, it's certainly not megabotum. In any event, Tosis learns, therefore, that the shir of revius over here means a self-generated tumah of revius. Whereas the din of metami tumah hamura would be the kizayit, and of course it's also an avatumah. Question whether it's an avatuma like a maze, or that is an aviyavotatuma, or whether it's only an avatuma like nevela. Fine, that's a machlokas, but it's an avatuma. It's a tuma chabur. Mashenkin, over here, the self-generated tuma, once you have a revius, doesn't have to touch anything that's tummy. It is tummy, as if it came into contact with something that was tummy as a foodstuff, which of course is very cool. And that would only be a sheni vatuma. So in the nevela, it's listed the revius because they weren't going to this level of tumah in less than revius. Obviously, if it was actually makabel tumah, then kishita satosis it would be makabel tumah, whatever it is. The third category is hamatkid yenoit. By the way, I should mention that there's a shita that the Ramah brings actually lahalacha, which is that this din of asur b'hana'a is only said at times where there was a norm to be menaseh yai. In which case the takana, the gezera of stam yayin, was a gezera based on the actual chashash rather than an extension of the idea mishum chatnut and so on to keep away from goyim. But bizman hazeh, it brings us lahalacha. Bizman hazeh, where it's not the derech of the manaseh yayin, there would be no isra hana'a. There would be only the isra akhila, which is the extension, not to share with them. And he brings that certainly to be samech, if it's a mokum hefsef, somebody inherited, he's going to lose all his money if he's unable to translate it into cash and so on and so forth, to rely on this. And of course, there's all types of further elements of this issue. So the Gea also yesterday's question about the pasteurization issue as well, you know, this is together with this in terms of being made help. You know, how much it can be made. Lemaisa, of course, because of Ramesh's famous truva that allows pasteurization, even in one place he says 160, what did he say? I remember the Celsius, not the...
59.
No, he has a high, by him it's 65, between 65 and 70 degrees Celsius. I forgot what he gave as the... So he says that's, and that's a problem because much of the pasteurization... Exactly. Much of the pasteurization is lower temperature than that, although the Jewish pasteurization... The main issue in terms of pasteurization is whether it's considered to be bishul because it's basically made, I mean, that's why Pasteur developed it in the first place, not to destroy the time of the yayin. So was there a way to kill the bacteria that would cause damage to the wine without ruining the normal process, but also destroy the yeast. And he experimented and found the temperature, which would keep it long enough, it won't damage the actual wine, but it will prevent the infection of the wine. But the idea over there, of course, the whole idea of Yayin Mevushel is that it's no longer roy because it's ruined. So they won't use it on a mizbeach, but it's pasteurization and it shouldn't be ruined. I mean, that's the whole idea. And in fact, Flemizom and Auerbach used to be quite mocked on that issue because he didn't see how you could utilize pasteurization. But it's become sort of an accepted halacha that at least at Ramosha's level of pasteurization, which is higher than the norm, that would be sufficiently pogame to be... You know, Jews wouldn't notice anyway. No worse than the Manischewitz. All right, so we have that. And then the third issue, which of course is also very nogea, and this is leads to the whole seal. How does the seal work on a wine? How does it go? How are you allowed to buy wine that's been transported or that you're buying in a non-kosher shop and so on? And that is that someone who is mafkid yenoi telovet kochavim, somebody who has a area in a goy's house or store, in which he puts his wine, and there it's asur b'shtiya, umutar b'hana'a. So there we're concerned that maybe it was switched, but we're not so mocked on it that it should be asur b'hana'a. And of course, this is about name and monitor. If you're concerned that it was switched, so then you have to be concerned that it was switched with his wine, it would be mamish asur. And if you're not chayshish, that he switched it and he... And we'll see later on, it's talking about that there was a seal or that there was a lock. We're not charged for that. So why isn't it mutter even the achila? And Tosfos learned that this is specifically the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Betzalel, we'll see later on, because he holds that his Shita is that even if a guy touches wine, if it belongs to a Jew, the guy can't offer that wine. Because the Jew can tell them, listen, you know, I give you a shot to use my wine. This is his Shita. In which case, even though maybe we are Chayesh, so what? So the guy went and took a little bit of wine. Okay, so maybe we're not Chayesh after the Kaka. I mean, why should he switch it for his? The most we're concerned is that he took a little bit. All right, so for that, we're not going to be saying that it was Petach Lufi, and if it's not Mukhlaf, then it wouldn't be Yasser Ba'anah. So Yasser did Min Rabbonin, because of a far out Chashash, possibly, of Nisuch. That's the Gemara. Now, the question is, over here it says it's Mutar Bana'ah, but the problem is that the Mishnah says in Dmai, that's none, that we've got a similar situation in which somebody's Matkit Peirotav Etalakru. Somebody has fruit. You know, that fruit he may have taken off Meisr and so on. He gives it to a guy to hold for him. When he takes it back, he has to assume the worst. He has to assume that those fruits came from Shemitah and they weren't kosher. Or that the guy that had switched them with his fruits that were not taken Trumas and Meisers from. So it's as if he bought the food directly from the Akum in terms of Shemitah, in terms of Meiser. So how is it that when it comes to wine, we're not afraid that it simply switched the contents on him, and yet when it comes to the fruit, we are afraid that he switched the contents? It doesn't make any sense. Answers the Gemara, as we mentioned earlier, that the case of Yer, certainly not that he gave it to him, he's trusting him. It's Kagon Shiyechevlo Karen Zavit. He actually rented a particular area, which was closed, sealed, either with a lock or with an actual seal, and it was because of that that we relied on it. Ah, 1 second, said the Gemara. If it was actually locked, so then Yachi Bishtiya Nami Bishtiya, why is it not mutter to actually drink it then? Because we know that Rabbi Yochanan once came to the town of Parud. Now in Parud, that was where Bar Kappora used to live, and he actually died in Parud. And although the famous Seder HaMishnah of Bar Kappora never became a competitor to Rebbe's, and the main Seder HaMishnah we have is, of course, from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but Bar Kappora had his Mishnah too, and when Rabbi Yochanan came to town, he asked, is there anyone here that can teach me something of Mishnah Bar Kappora? And there was a gentleman there, a Tana, by the name of Reb Tanchum de Min Parud. And he taught Rabbi Yochanan that Hamatkid Yenoi Tzelovet Kochavim Mutar B'Shtiyah. That if somebody deposits wine by a guy, that it would be mutter to drink. Obviously, he understood that this is referring to a case where it was locked or where there was a chotam. So if that's the case, and now you're telling me that even the earlier case that we said was talking about that he had to be renting a space of their Keren Zavim, so then you've explained why it's not Osir Bana'ah, but then you haven't explained why it's Osir Bishtiyah. It should be Mutar Bishtiyah too. So how do you explain that? Says the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan, when he heard that, he was very, very shaken by it, that it was possible to reconstruct Bar Kappora, even though it was so many years after Bar Kappora's death. Kori Alei, he said, you know, that's what Shlomo HaMelech was referring to. Makom Shiyipola Eitz Sham Yehu. The place that the tree falls, that's where it will be. Now, that doesn't make sense. That's where it will be. If it fell, it's not going to be there. I mean, so, Sham Yehu Salgadaitav. It's got to mean Sham Yehu Peirotav. The fruit of that tree will indeed ultimately reproduce because the tree fell, and we look at it as a tragedy. But in the course of falling, it's planted fruit. And that's what happened. Bar Kappora may have fallen, but his Mishnah is producing. And because I came to this town, now I learned something I didn't know before. But in any event, what do we do with the contradiction? It's actually not a problem. There is a Machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbonah, which we know about. The Tanya, Echad Alokeah, the Echad HaSocher by it. Whether you buy a use of a Machsan or something in the Rishus of a Goy, or you rent a space in a Chotzer of a Goy, and you use it to store wine, and the mapteach, or the chotam, even if it's not locked, but it may be sealed, is Biyad Yisrael, Rabbi Eliezer Matir, v'chachamim Osrin. So where we said it was Asur, We were talking about the sheath of the chachamim, or machmir, that even though you have the key, that's insufficient. Where Bar Kapara was saying that it's mutar, that was referring to the approach of Rabbi Eliezer, in which it's mutar as long as it's sealed. Omra Piyah Bereda, Rapiyah Bar Nachmeni, Omra Pista Omar Rav, or some say it was Rapista who said the name of Ziri, or some say it was Rapista who said that Rabbi Abba Bar Chama told him that this is what Ziri said. In any event, what was said was, Halakha to Rabbi Eliezer, we pass in that way, and that we're actually makel when it comes to having the key, or when it comes to having a seal, that we can rely on it, that it wasn't switched, or the way Tosus is learning, that he didn't open it to take out some. Omar Rabbi Elazar, not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, Miyamura said that Hakom Mishtamer Bechote Mechad, usually when it comes to questions of Kashrut, so the shayla is you put some meat, or, you know, things like that, you have to be able to identify. If you have a seal on that door, that would be sufficient. Except for wine. Wine, we have to be very marked. It wouldn't be sufficient to have a single seal. We'll say you'd need a double seal. And Rav Yochanan, Afil Yain, Mishtamer Bechote Mechad. Below Pligi, they're not even arguing, because one was following the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who was Mekel. Let's follow the sheikh of the Rabbonin. And Rabbi Yochanan was saying, look, I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer, Afil Yain is included. Ikad Amri, other sages, the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yochanan, but the two statements of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yochanan, was actually a reference to Chotem Betor Chotem. So, according to this, Rabbi Elazar said, Hakol Mishtamer Bechotem Betor Chotem, Chotem Ben Ayayin, Sheino Mishtamer Bechotem Betor Chotem. But here it's much more marked. Rabbi Elazar, according to this Lashon, is saying that if you've got a double seal, and we'll see that double seal doesn't mean literally double seal, it means it could be a seal and a key. No, in other words, two elements that protect you separately. So then, you can rely on anything, but not wine. Wine, even Chotem Betor Chotem is up in Rabbi Yochanan, was only coming to say that afilu yain mishtamer b'chotem b'tol chotem. In which case, both of them would be going to leave it to Rabbonin. The question would be, how to understand Rabbonin? Marzava ki pliga Rabbonin later Rabbi Eliezer b'chotem echad. So one man, the Omar holds, like Rabbi Yochanan holds, that even though the Rabbonin argue in Rabbi Eliezer, and they say, well, it's not enough to have it sealed, that's only if it's a single seal. But if it was a chotem b'tol chotem, then they would be matirit. The Rabbonin were arguing. We're arguing about chotem betol chotem, and they were asri. Now it's very interesting that the Gemara says later on we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. We're not chayish for this ziyuf, which is mashma. We do not require chotem betol chotem, and yet as Tosfos brings, we'll see in our subject and throughout the Masechta, there are references again and again and again to defining better what Chotem B'tol Chotem essentially is, and the Gemara seems to take for granted all the time that we need a Chotem B'tol Chotem. And so it says a very chashuv distinction in the two different cases, when we would need a Chotem B'tol Chotem and when we would not. And he says like this, if you are shipping something to yourself, for instance, or you're the Mashgiach, and you can tell whether something has been tampered with, then indeed we pass to my Rebbe Eliezer, who says that a chotem is sufficient. But if you're shipping something to someone else, okay, who is not going to be a bucky, but tviyat ayin he's going to see right away, so then you have to be choshesh that the guy will assume that it's easy to just make it look like it wasn't tampered with, because the guy's not going to really recognize it. He'll take his computer and he'll make up the same thing and so on. He'll paste it on, you know. So over there, you need something that's more tircha for him to be mezayev or to break into, and there you would need a chotem betol chotem. And then with this, does it explains all of the distinctions in the sugya.
If somebody buys a shatuhu, they're all cheated. 38.50 a bottle, and the guy exchanges for $6.50 a bottle. That's the problem.
It sure is. And that's that. No. That happens to be a very important question. The issue that Ramosh is bringing up is actually another approach that does it. It's the Rabbi Natan's approach, which is, do you have to be more worried about a Jewish phony than about a Negoi? Where you've got problems of exactly that, of financial reasons for a guy to play games, Tosfos, the Rabbi Natan's own approach to the difference in the Shita, is that when it comes to a goy, a single chotan is enough. But when it comes to a Jew, then you need a double chotan. if he's kosher on being fraudulent. So, but the other Balei HaTosfos say, Rabbi Natan sounds like Divrei Neviut. I mean, where do you get this from? Now, all of the sugyas are going to have to change, even when they're in the middle of talking about over there, but it's kachav, it doesn't really mean that, it means it's true, and they find that very difficult, which is where we come up with this other distinction, whether you recognize
the mindset.
Yeah. Where you recognize the chotam yourself. Okay. In any event, two approaches. There are other approaches as well, but, this is, of course, one of those kind of sugyas that come up all the time. What, says the Gemara, what is exactly a chotam betol chotam? What actually qualifies as a chotam betol chotam? Says the Gemara, hechidami chotam betol chotam, Omar Rava. Well, it would even be, let's say, an agna de pumida chavita shrika. V'chatima, let's say you take now a cover and you seal a barrel with it in a way that is difficult to pry open and to reseal, like a soda bottle. Where you'd have to have a little machine, a device that will clamp it back on again. And then on top of that, you've got one of those little pieces of paper that breaks when you open it. That would be a chotam betol chotam, because the paper is difficult to play with. The opening is difficult to play with. As long as you make it too difficult to play with, we're not taish b'zuyufi. Obviously, it's not that we believe that you can't do anything about it. I mean, that would be ridiculous. You always, you let it soak in water, you melt it off, you steam it off. I mean, there's always ways. The point that the Gemara holds here is that what we're looking for is not a foolproof seal. We're looking for something that simply is too much trouble for the guy to deal with. Ah, forget it all. Which is really the basis of much protection for car thieves and so on.
Or medicines, exactly.
You
really want medicine.
Yeah, that's right. But in other words, if you make it more difficult to steal your automobile, it'll go to the next guy. What do you have to bother with it for? Exactly. So here too, that's the issue of the chotam betol chotam.
Also, the two-token theory of authentication for computers is considered breakproof.
Because of this, the same svara, isn't it?
Yeah, and also they're multiplicative rather than additive if you have two.
But that's only where you're dealing with math, not where you're dealing with chotam betol chotam,
right?
Sure. Well, you're saying just statistically they're multiplicative?
Yeah, because then it's the same idea.
Although hackers are by definition motivated. The more challenge, the more they're going to break in, right? Right. What a world we live in. Oh, another example of a chotam betol chotam. There's a little piece missing. It should say the ilo lo habikot betol chotam. Because if you take a tikkulah, let's say you take a basket, you glue that basket over the top of the barrel, so it's mahadik. So now you don't even have any chotam. You just have a basket plus the normal seal on the barrel. That's also chotam betol chotam. But if it's lo mahadik, if it's easy to just pull off and put back down, then it'll habikot betol chotam. Let's say you have a nose, you have a leather flask that has wine in it. And it is tied, and it's inside of the discia. It's inside of a metal leather box. A discia is usually an attaché case, and it's upside down. Chatimat piv lamata. The original flat is put upside down in it. So now there's a machlokas over here, by the way, a recent poskim. And this means that necessarily you're relying on the seal, in other words, the way you tied the original leather flask. Or it's just that it's too much of a hassle. He opens it up, he sees the thing is upside down, I have to go in, take it out, get some out, put it back in upside down in such a way that it won't spill a replay, whether that itself is enough to be a chotam betol chotam. So that's chotam betol chotam, but if it's pivla mala, if it wasn't turned upside down, lo avi chotam betol chotam, it's too easy to open both together. Let's say that you tie it. And then after tying it, you press in the sides, so that now you don't see the tie. And then that is sealed now with one of those paper things. That's also a chotam. It's too much of a hassle. The guy's going to take it. He's going to tear the paper. He's going to steam off the paper. Then he has to open it up, play games with it to put it back inside. It should look the same. It's too much of a hassle. So again, the hassle factor is what's important to us. So if Kikaya Puma the Gavit side of a question, it's also Chot and Mito Chot.
Why do we still need
the double steel online? Why not? What are you asking? We are. We're kosher. We're only in terms of the most, but only in terms of Achila, but the, you know, Shkia, but the Ramah. That means it's a Takana. This is the way out of the Takana.
Wouldn't a regular cork be considered a seal? Because once you take it out.
Don't know. Once you take it out, you can't get
you
it
can't,
back.
You
know?
Can't pass the same
so
way.
So maybe that's not
all
maybe it would be.
It won't go all the way.
Won't go all the way? Even with a device? Can't get it in? You can't.
They got
one
a device
of those
to do it. No, they got a device.
They do
it
with
a
device.
To do it.
To reinsert it?
To reinsert it, just so you, just so it's...
But it won't have the cork.
You keep it... Yeah.
But no, honey, you use one of those...
No, it could be
and here we go again. If you're
well, what they usually do is they have that first that plastic seal around it, and then it's stamped or it's covered with something. Turn around on it. Yeah, it's a hassle to get out too. Turn around on it. Rishana yomrim yain shel ein kushi asur mit nebirat zrika. Now they used to say that these are various towns that were inhabited by Kutim. And the Kutim, of course, were careful about certain things, but nonetheless, they have been doing a lot of business with goyim. They weren't makbid on the Avdei Kehavim touching their wine, so wine in Ein Kushi would be usher because of the adjacent town of Birat Sarika, where there were Avdei Kehavim. Barakata, which was also a city of Kutim, was also because of Kfar Parshoi that was nearby, and the goyim used to come in. And Zagdor of Kutim was also because of Kfar Salem was also a Goyishata nearby. And then Chazul Omar, then they realized, well, actually it depends. If the Chaviyot of Ptuchot, if they're talking about buying from them in a store where they have open barrels, I mean, they're at Asur because they're not marked but on the touching of the Goy, but Stumot Mutarot, if they're sealed, it's okay. And what were they thinking originally and what were they thinking at the end? Mi kora mai savor, ulubisof mai savor. Mi karasavur en kuti makpira maga ove kochavim loshnaptuchot loshnastumot. They originally held. Look, the fact is the kuti himself believes this to be a rabbinic excess. This business about stam yenam and so on, and they laugh at it. So what do they care if an akum touches the wine? But then they realized that look, the guy is going to want to do business with Jews. If he has sealed his barrels, the reason that he sealed that barrel is because he wants it to be kosher. If he wants it to be kosher, he's not going to take a chance, even though the barrel was in his rishos before. He says, so while it was in his rishos, I mean, we didn't see it, what he did when every sealed barrel was at one time open. So how do we know? But that's the point, as Tosis explained. If he wants to do business, then it means he's going to be makbet. So as tumot, he makbet kopit. Are you saying now that barrels that are stumot of kutim are mutarot?
One seal.
Hash, doesn't it say hashaleya chavit shel yain biyad kuti v'shel tzir v'shel muryas biyad odei kochavim? Don't we say that somebody who is shipping wine, and he's shipping it with a kuti truck driver, or if he's shipping tzir, now tzir was a fish brine, which was not very expensive. And there'd be no reason to assume that a guy would switch it for wine, because wine was much more expensive. But what you do have to be afraid of is that there is cheaper tzir that is made out of non-kosher fish. So, you know, you have a lot of these entrails, and they throw away stuff, and they would let that sit. They would use that as junk here. And again, if we're concerned for Reb Moshe's problem of your fraudulent dealers, it would be a very easy thing to take the high quality here, switch it for something else. So if you have tzir, or if you have murias in the Adam de Kochavim, murias already, now that consists of actual fish innards, and it has wine mixed with it. And the murias part is, in fact, more valuable than wine. So there is a likelihood that the goy will take off some of the settled innards, replace it with wine, and make the money. And there you have to be worried about him mixing his own wine. So there you need a seal. So imak yirchotmo v'satmo, the guy recognizes the way that he sealed it, or the way that he signed on it, then it's mutar. And of course, this is what Tosfos is talking about, your own recognition of what you did. The imlav asur. Rabbi Zera, so we have over here what appears to be a contradiction. Is the kuti reliable? The first part was a kuti truck driver. And over here it says if you don't have a proper seal on it that you recognize, you can't trust the kuti truck driver. And yet it was sealed, so why do you need the chatima on it that you need to recognize? Says Rabbi Zera, now wait a minute, there's a difference, you see, because if you're talking about a truck driver, and truck drivers usually go out on the highway. And if they go out on the highway, so they're not going to be mocked. If you're talking about in town, you know, that's what we were saying. You had a kuti who has a sealed barrel, and he intends to do business. He's certainly not going to want anybody to see him being mako, allowing a goy to come in contact with this. There, you're 100% right. But when you're talking about a truck driver, you're talking about Baderech. Baderech, he doesn't think anybody's going to see him what he does on the road. The Mary will not be very marked, but if he stops at a truck stop somewhere, he's going to think there's a rabbi at a truck stop, little does he know. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't think that way, right? Maskevor Rav Yirmiyah, Mide. I don't understand what you're saying. So if somebody is selling in a town, you're telling me that what he's selling was never shipped on the road? I mean, didn't it come from somewhere? It didn't grow in town, did it? So I don't understand what you're saying. So how does the year Lobadera Khatsu? The ones that are now in the supermarket, you think that that the wine grew in the supermarket? I mean, Lobadera Khatsu, didn't it come on the road? So if that's what you're saying, you're back to square one again. You'd always have to be worried about wine from a kuti that was shipped. And unless it was got a hexer on it and was sealed before and everything, how could you rely on it? Therefore, Elam Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Rabbi Yirmiyah, it actually makes a big difference. Bein hagitot shaninam. The point over here isn't the difference between the city and the road. It's the difference of the time of the year. Someone, Bein hagitot, is talking about areas, geographical areas, where they manufacture the wine. Normally, Bein hagitot is a time. All over the Gemara uses it as a time of the year in which everybody is being osik in wine. It's very careful about what's going on. They're keeping their eyes out. Everybody's interested in knowing which wine is kosher and so on. So over there, Kivan de Kuleyama Yifchei Mirta, since everybody's involved in this, there he's nervous. And that's why we rely on the kuti truck driver, even though he's out on the road too.
Just that nowadays, the ones when it's that time, they're working non-stop 24 hours of
so Omar Hashti, he says to himself, oh boy, right now, he calls me, if anybody spots me, massively, I'm going to lose my business.
The Gemara anyhow talks about the if somebody's a professional and gets his
provision. No, not in this. Here it's fear of discovery, not fear of reputation. Different issue.
There's a village near Spain called
Galay.
Isn't that
what I was cruising on? Yeah, this could be Kfar Sinan.
They say it's named for the other Yaakov,
Shalem. Wow, that's amazing. That is really amazing. Rami Bar Chama, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Idma, Mipnei Ma Asur Sheikha Shalom De Kochavim. Why did they say Goyish of beer was prohibited? Now, this is rather astonishing.
Yeah.
Because
right.
It doesn't say, as Tosfos points out, it doesn't say in any Mishnah, in any Brisa, that there is such a thing. And yet the Gemara is saying, well, why did they say it as if everybody knows this to be true? And whoever heard of such a thing, Tosfos says, maybe in the days of the Amoraim, they were made a gezeirah about this kind of thing. We don't have the historical record on it. Now let's take a look at the sugya first, and then I'll tell you some of the interesting background issues over here. So Rami Bar Chama, Rav Yitzchak says, it's mishum chatnut. Basically, a pub is a wonderful place. And what better place to meet a fine goyish girl? If you're in the lookout for a shikta, you're sitting around a pub, actually when you're not on the lookout, you'll end up being on the lookout. And therefore we don't want you sitting around in goyish pubs. Rav Nachman Amar, mishum gili. It's because we're afraid that it's going to be left open. And it's dangerous.
Snakes.
And snakes again. a gilu d'mayna. Wait. What are we talking about, gilu? You remember gilu d'nezaita? You're talking about the actual brewing container where it's bubbling and so on. I mean, we do that too. We're never chayish for gilu on something like that because it's we know that it's not attractive. So ananami mikalina. V'ela d'chavita. What then are we talking? We're talking about in the large chavit afterwards. I mean, we also rely on that. That it's not attractive to snakes. Ananami megalina. We're talking about in areas where the water needs to settle. You know, we've got a lot of sediment and stuff in the water. And over there, they leave the water open for a while so that all of the bubbles should come out and that the water should be clear. You know, it's all the TV ads, you know, we use the finest natural and so on and so forth. So that's, so here too, that kind of place. And they're not mocked on gilu. Now, Tosis is very bothered by this because he says, we said before that anybody who's mocked on sanitary conditions is going to be mocked on water. So what do you have to be mocked on gilu for? What are we, cautious that they're going to allow this thing to be open to the air? Why would they do that? If the whole idea is that they want to have, you know, pure, clean water. And Tosis is very interesting. He says, because when you're dealing with beer, people are not mocked on sanitary conditions in the same way they're not mocked on sanitary conditions for wine, because the alcohol basically ends up sanitizing everything. And anyway, in the end, they allow all the sediment to settle down, they filter it. So what's the difference? Something gets in it, it's going to settle down together with all the other garbage that's in it. So they simply don't care. If they don't care about that problem, about the sanitary problem, they don't know about you, or they're not mocked about you. So we made a gezerah because of gilu. But it's so interesting. I mean, you can see the impact of these kind of takanas on, in general, on health issues, which of course created a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism, where plagues were blamed on the Jews because the Jews never got sick, and you know, they wouldn't drink from the same water that they were drinking from, and you know. It's interesting that the Gra actually says that all of these takanas, the elements that are expressed in the Gemara specifically, are always one out of many issues that were taken into Chazal. And there are examples in the Gemara of this where actually the Gemara exposes this. Yes, they said because of that, but there's also this underlying issue and so on. And because of that, he doesn't go along with any of these terim, you know, that, well, nowadays there's no snakes and everything. Snakes is a small problem, and there's all kinds of other issues that were part of the takana, and you have to keep it because of that. And that's why, as I mentioned yesterday, there are many people who are very desire on gilui. Alayom hazeh, because an issue is very, very makbid on gilui. He was makbid even if you put a pot on the fire until it got hot, that it would have to be covered because otherwise if you walked out, it would be in this gala. And the shear is a very quick shear. And we come back. And if it isn't hot, what's to stop the refresh? So now, in terms of this beer business, the question is, if our concern is that it has gilui problems, then if it's been allowed to become yashan, and now it's an older product, usually that's 30 days of shear for most things, so it should be mutter. Because Rav said that if you have, let's say you have wine that had been exposed, and it now was aged, and it aged well, it's mutter. Because if it would have been infected with this poison, the venom would have ruined its ability to be properly aged, the wine. And if it aged, then it's fine. And the same thing would be true if it turned into vinegar. If it turned into vinegar, it's also mutter, because the venom would have prevented it from, as well as the microorganisms are also sensitive, apparently, to the snake venom, and it wouldn't have been able to continue fermenting into vinegar either. So then why don't we find that the beer problem would be the same thing? That could be Xera Yashana to Hadash, and that. It could be just that we don't know. People are not going to really be mocked, but to know how recently this thing was bottled and so on. So that could be is not a problem. So we have a mock locus. Now, Rav Papa, we know, of course, Rav Papa was very big on beer. So Rav Papa wasn't going to let anything like this get in his way. And what he did, it was mafikinle la baba da kanuta. He would take the beer out from the pub
go to the doorway and drink it there. Because, again, as we'll see, he held the only problem was the camaraderie of the drinking. It's like, if I have to walk out of the store, I never have that problem. And Rav Akoi, he went further. He was mightily lebeite, he would take it to his own house. He wouldn't even drink it at the door. The truth is, tarvayel mishum chatznut. They both held that the only problem was the finding the shikta. And it's just that, Rav Akoi, you have it out, fuck you, say, Rav Akoi felt that you shouldn't even be near the door to the bar. But clearly both of them held that it was a function of chatznut and not a din in the actual beer itself. Now, here, there's another issue, which is a fascinating question, and that is, and the Rush talks about this, the Rush talks about England, or what he calls the land of the E, the island land. The island, the E, you know, which was England.
Could have been Ireland as well.
So, and he talks about the way that everybody drinks this stuff. And a lot of the discussion revolves around a fascinating issue. At the time of Chazal, the beer was date beer. So if they ossered something, then it would have ossered the beer of their times. And they didn't have a minute to have malt beer or these other drinks. And many posts came out, look, and when we're talking about a gzera like this, it doesn't extend automatically. I mean, if there was a gzera, it was on this specific product, and this product that is used today. I mean, they didn't have that product, and therefore that type of beer would be totally mutter. And there are many shittas who hold this. And others learned that again, the din of chatznut is how we go with this, and there's certainly no iser in drinking beer. And there was an interesting shana halacha l'maisa from one of the yeshivas asked Reb Moshe Feinstein. They had a strong backer who was a non-Jew. And he wanted to make a parlor meeting in his home for all of the, you know, rich people. And he was going to give a big donation and get them all to follow. And, of course, it was going to be filled with shechar and so on and so forth. And the question is, would there be a problem with shechar akum under the circumstances, mishum chatanut and so on? And he told them not to do it because of this issue. On the other hand, the poskim all say that this does not include a case where a goy makes a party. As we saw before, a Christmas party or something like that, where you're invited, where we allow you to participate in Mishum Eva. We had all of those discussions before. Cases where Eva is mutter, that over there we don't make it a gezerah where he is initiating the whole idea and you're coming in to pay respect. That's not Osir Mishum Chatnut. It's the camaraderie that's also Mishum Chatznut, and that's where the two of you get together. Not where he has a specific function in mind, and you're going in order to be yotze, your presence there, which is very interesting. And it's connected to the earlier sugya about doing business with Akum. That's certainly not going to be more chomor than the doing business. We have big kiddush, but that's how we pass it.
As far as the beer nowadays?
As far as the beer nowadays, again, those who hold. It's a big shiloh because there's a lot of places, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of places like this, where a gezera is made and doesn't have any, nowadays, there's all types of things that you'd say, well, if they knew about this, they certainly would have made a gezera about it, but there was no such thing. So why should it be usher? You know, because nobody sat down and made a gezera on it. There's a fascinating chazanish about this. The chazanish says, how come the Gemara always talks about things like, well, the Kiddush over here is that I might have thought we should answer it because of this and this. Come on, that we don't. What do you mean we should, asked the Chazanish? I mean, we didn't. You can't talk about a drop on it, we should. So what do you need a Kiddush for? If you don't know for a fact that it was the best that it answered something, why would it be answered? And he says an amazing thing. He says that the takanot that were made were not made at specific takanot, but rather they were issues that were mechudash to be the same as other elements in the Torah. They were conceptual. And you were meant to interpret their conceptual gezeira through the deros to see what would then be included under that concept. There are certain gezeiros that are because of Ma'aseh Shayan. So there the Gemara says it's very specific because it's commemorative and so on. But a gezeira that's a conceptual gezeira and that would, is obvious that it would be something that would need to be dealt with, in fact needs to be dealt with. So issues like electricity, the similarity to fire and so on and so forth, even if you don't hold they have any real meaning in terms of the deraisa, may well be included automatically under various shittot. Chol Yisrael might also be an example. Yeah, I mean, there it's a different shaila, though. The question is... No, but the question he's raising is if it's not nohug anymore, it's a mix. But the other issue that's involved is whether a mirtat, a fear of inspection, is the equivalent of a hashgacha. That's a different question. Because that we often find, since they're mirtat, what's the difference if they're mirtat from a Jewish inspector? Different. They're mirtat from a goy who's going to come around to the government, and they'll lose their license if they put anything else in the milk, obviously. So, you know, but it's interesting. It's a fairly recent. So, you know, my shver describes how during the war, he was marked by Kol Yisrael all through the war. And the reason was that he actually saw himself. He saw a farmer mixing horse's milk with, they wouldn't waste anything, you know. So, why on the world? Exactly. And he had another mice, incredible mice, in which somebody that was with him, who wasn't marked on Kol Yisrael, and had bought this milk, and it was absolutely delicious, the very thick milk. And the guy went back and asked the farmer, I've never tasted anything like this. And he said that what he does is he boils it up with bones to make it thicker. It just makes a gelatin in it. And, oh my God. So again, you never know what's behind, what's behind the gazera. But
in terms of accessibility for people who were, never mind the producer who doesn't want to waste it, the consumer who lives at a loss as to where to get things.
Oh, for sure.
There has to be an aspect there of that being okay, I think.
We're talking about people who weren't going to, do the slightest thing that was a shashitsu, no matter what the matzah was, you know what I mean? That's some incredible story. But the siyata d'shmaya that these people had, because of this commitment, it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of a war, this is the way it's got to be, it's amazing. It's very much off the topic, but it's such a beautiful story. But he was in Hanukkah. During Hanukkah, they were transporting him with a number of friends from one work camp to another. And this was a train that was going through Siberia. And it was totally freezing cold. And the trains would go for days and days. And they're sitting in the trains trying to light Hanukkah bears. So what they would do was, whenever the train would stop, they would run out in the cold and collect the grease that would drip from the wheels till they had enough to light the candles, right? Anyways, I forgot what night of Hanukkah it was, but they were sitting there, and the train is going and didn't stop. The entire day is going. They didn't have any opportunity to get oil at all that day.
They needed an escort, exactly.
And his friends go to sleep, and he says, no, I'm not. You never know. The train might stop. I'll be able to run out. I'll get myself some grease. So they fall asleep, and he's up. And there's a guy that comes into the car. He says it was the most insane thing in the world, selling candles. Now this, in the middle of the war, where nobody had candles, in a train in Siberia, does anybody need candles at 2:00 in the morning? What in the world? Absolutely crazy story. Anyway, he was able to trade cigarettes, but that was the big thing. And they would always get like these cigarettes as a, so they would save those up. That would be the main trade. He was able to buy candles and cigarettes, and he lit Hanukkah there. So those are the kind of, he said he would have liked to sit and learn with the guy for a while. All right. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. So the question of Sheikhar again would be here, according to the city, because of Chatnut.
Look, Shmuel Bar Bisna, Ifla Lamarg 1. Now, this, Shmuel Bar Bisna came to this town where they were Goyim, and there were Jews, rather, who weren't mocked on contact with the Goyim. And they brought him chamer, they brought him wine, and he refused to drink it. And they brought him beer, and he refused to drink it. Now, I understand the wine. I mean, there's always a shemitz of a problem there because of their interaction with the Goyim, and they don't care. But Shifra, I mean, what in the world would be the problem? And the beer, if the problem, the beer is marriage. I mean, maybe you would say because the Jew bought beer from a Goy, well, that's crazy. And why would that be? It's Mishum Shimsa to Shimsa. I mean, since this is a town in which they're very makeable on things, they don't seem to take these things seriously. Therefore, he held you should be Machmer, because you're not Machmer on the beer to them, they're going to end up being more makeable on the wine. So just try to show them that the whole thing is just not ridiculous. Omer Rav, Hai Shikr Daramo Shori. Now, Rav gave a fascinating psak. Actually, you can drink non-Jewish beer for everybody except for my son. But Chia Bri, my son Chia, should not drink from it. What is that supposed to mean? Manashah. I mean, he's Shari Lekuleyama Shari. If you all this mutter, I mean, why can't it be mutter for Chia? And he also, Lekuleyama also. I mean, if you tell me it's also, why is it mutter for everybody else? El Rav Savar Mishum Yiluya. Rav held that the problem was not because of Katanut, obviously, because he's talking about it in his house. See, all the problem was Yiluya. Okay. Now, the Merura de Kashuta, they were using then the Kashrut, which is the Kashkutas, I think they translated as. But they used this in the beer. The Kali Lazy Hira, now that always ruined the effect of the venom, so that it was no longer poisonous. But the lucky Malkilatzvei, if somebody was ill, this would make it more. A healthy person could shrug it off. An ill person could still have ill effects. It would make him more ill. And what he was saying is, my son shouldn't drink it. Not that it's not kosher, but Chia Bri, however lucky, since my son Chia is not well. So this is the way in which he was giving over his medical advice at the same time that he was giving over the kashrus psak. Omar Shmuel, kol ha-shvatzim yesh l'meres. The truth is that any sheretz has in it things that are unhealthy. The point is the nachash is meimit, and other shvatzim is not meimit. You know, there's bechlal a lot of shailas about this whole question. Why are we choshen? We had that whole sugya about somebody who uses a snake to hurt somebody with, you know, whether the snake has to eject its poison. Why in the world would any type of sheretz eject poison into a drink when it's drinking? It's absurd. It's a crazy way to be choshish for something.
Because it doesn't drink it itself?
No, but it's a waste.
It's not attaching.
It's not being attacked. Why should it? I mean, it's not easy to make this stuff. Why, evolutionarily speaking, why would anything have evolved in a way that...
It's so dirty that it's infectious.
So it's some time... Well, it's always talked about zero, so it can't just be infectious. It means that there's some... You know, that the Gemara says, the Pharisee says it's regurgitation, but why poison? I mean, there was some that suggested recently that maybe the chash of here is that it had just killed something and so that there was some left over, that type of thing.
So
but
it wanted to drink
it. Isn't the real chash. Yeah, right. Well, so it wasn't the real chash.
Chaser
for sure.
You see the boy eating the cake.
Maybe. Okay, but again, it's not clear exactly what's that. Is that my favorite Tafioni man? You're walking outside, and there he is under the snow? No, actually not really. No. After. Omale Shmuel, Lechia Barav, Bar Arya, son of a great man. So the Emel called Milsa, Mal Yosef, Yomar Rav, Abu. I want to teach you a few things that your father Rav used to say. Oh, Yomar Abu. You notice, honey, Armoy Zukani. You notice these big, fat rednecks? Davy Shot, did you ever see any of them die from drinking some water that was left overnight? What a joke. These guys can drink anything. Now, why is it that these fat slobs can drink anything? And you were going to be mocked about to drink this and not that. Let me explain it to you. The low mates, the reason they don't die is, you know what? They spent their whole lives eating at McDonald's. So their body is used to anything, basically. The Achlish, Gutzin, Viramoshim, Chlavabufai, I mean, they eat such garbage that their metabolism is set at a level that they can just, like, you know, burn through anything. So, but don't confuse yourself with these guys.
That's the story of
the vinegar that's made from the various things, even though it's not made from wine, it's usher because in the Arve Bay Edur Daya of Yayinessa, they do put in leaves or tartar from Yayinessa. Yeah, well, it's a question of how the Shemorim tartar, this cream of tartar, is made from Shemorim. So there would be, here's the whole Shaila of whether this is a big machlokus, whether this is dafk, if it's made for tam. It's very nogea, the question of the using the barrels, you know, the soki and the scotch and things like that. So the question is, these things were used as catalysts, apparently, for fermenting the vinegar, not necessarily for taste.
And
that's the big question. Or many times that itself is no different than a mechametz or a maimed. It should be more us or not less us. It wasn't made for time. Again, these are all things that are not, you know, that are discussed in the Achronim. But they used Zurdaya the Yayin Nesef. Omer Avashi, Umi Otsar, Shorui. If this stuff has been packed, and it's now, you know, sold over months, and they leave it around, then there'd be no problem, because given the Bahar that they miss it, sorry. Once they mix it, it gets spoiled very rapidly. So they would mix it near the time that it's going to be used. But if it's something that's going to be stored and sold, then for sure you don't have to be a frosh.